taking responsibility for actions. That's something new for Washington, D.C. To get specific, here's the purveyor of political accountability, Dan Newman.
Hello there, everybody. Welcome to dnewman.org, our broadcast today. Once again, something special. There is so much going on in the world of politics in the United States that are affecting me and you, our brothers and sisters and friends and fellow workers, to be quite honest with you, politically, all around the world. So today, this Sunday, and it is Sunday, May the 6th, I want to welcome you in. And I tell you what, I don't know where you are. I know many of our partners are overseas in Northern Europe. We have some in Southeast Asia. And not sure what the weather is there where you are, but folks, where I am today, it has been incredible. 70, 74, 75 degrees sunshine. I ride a bicycle every day and very aggressively. I usually ride about 11 miles a day in 45 minutes. So that, if you figure the math, that's kind of getting it. Today was so beautiful that I went out and rode a second time. I mean, it has been spectacular. Spring is here in the South, and summer not far behind. So that means, for those of you that don't know about the South, we got to make hay while the sun's shining, because when it gets summertime and those temperatures get close to the 100-degree mark and the relative humidity does too, it is freaking unbearable. And so we are enjoying it here, and I hope you have been enjoying your weekend as well. We have some very serious things to talk about today. One of them, probably one of the most, if not the most important thing regarding living in the United States of America. And quite honestly, excuse me, one of the reasons why so many people want to come live here and why we struggle so desperately with illegal immigration. And that is the U.S. Constitution, especially the Bill of Rights, the first 10 amendments that guarantee specifically detailing all of the rights and privileges that the American people aren't given by the federal government. A lot of people think that those 10 amendments are things that the government gives to us. No, those 10 are the things specifically that our founding fathers thought was so important to make it clear that these things are things we are not allowing as citizens our government to control. And today, I want to talk about the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. It's known as the Free Speech Amendment. Here's exactly what it says. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. It's known as the Free Speech Amendment, and that's what we're going to talk about today, because boy, in the press, we are hearing that amendment, that part of that amendment, that title of that amendment thrown in our face almost every day. Free speech. And we're going to title today's broadcast, today's story, simply Anonymous. And no, it's not about the guy, whoever Anonymous is. You remember early in the Trump presidency, the trip overseas, and there was a picture taken during that trip by somebody using the pseudonym Anonymous, and the picture was taken from Air Force One. It was easy for officials to figure out looking down, because it was looking down, it was taking off or landing one overseas, don't know which one it was doing. But you could see the ground, and they were able to figure out that it was actually live from Air Force One. But Anonymous has for months now been tweeting and using other social media to talk about negative things of the deep state as it pertains to this U.S. government. Nobody can quite get a handle on who Anonymous is. We're not talking about that Anonymous. We're going to talk in the second part of the program today about anonymous sources. But first, let's talk about the free speech part of the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. According to today's media, that means you can say anything with no accountability whatsoever. It does not matter what is reported. They have the right to do it because of the First Amendment, free speech. Now, when I was in high school and college, taking journalism classes, one of the things we were told is that age-old story. You've probably heard it too. You can say anything, but there's accountability. You can't scream fire in a crowded theater. That was the illustration that was always given, because there are severe consequences that go with that. If you do, of course, people could be trampled to death getting out because of an untruth being screamed. There's a fire in a theater. So even though that's not in the Constitution, the illustration of screaming fire in a crowded theater, most everybody understands that there is accountability, or should be accountability, that comes with what we say. Got to be honest with you. If you're married or you have a significant other, you have accountability for what you say or don't say to that person. And if you lie, if you stretch the truth, if you just kind of embellish it a little bit, it often will come back to bite you, because they're going to hold you accountable. Guess what is not happening in the world of United States media at any level? Print, television, radio, internet, live broadcast. There is hardly any accountability of the news media for them, holding them accountable for things they say. Let me give you an example. And in yesterday's broadcast, I gave kudos to CNN. This one's not so much kudos, but it's talking about CNN. CNN anchor Don Lemon, a couple of days ago, said this: it's his obligation as a journalist to call President Trump a racist. Here's a quote from Lemon. Critical thinking is important as a journalist. If you cannot surmise that this president, if he's not racist, he's certainly racist adjacent, Lemon told an audience as the keynote speaker at Variety Entertainment and Technology Summit in New York. Quote him again. We have come to a consensus in our society that facts matter. I feel like it's my obligation to say that. He continued, if you have the evidence that shows you, that leads you to nothing else but this president being racist, then I feel it's my obligation as a journalist to say it, he added. Lemon called the president racist on the January 11th edition of CNN Tonight, the same day the first reports emerged that Trump had referred to Haiti, El Salvador, and African nations as shithole countries during an Oval Office meeting with lawmakers. I said it, and I don't regret saying it. I believe that to be true, the 52-year-old Lemon said to the audience, and that was at the Mandarin Oriental Hotel. So, how do you determine exactly what a person thinks? Is it by one thing they say, two things they say, something they may say in a moment where they're not thinking about it? It's something that just pops out of their mouth from the top of their head? Or does it come from a lifetime? And so Don Lemon, who is a very critical, I won't even call him a news person, a news reporter. I'll call him a columnist, an editorialist on CNN, is full of opinions and obviously leftist political opinions. And of course, he is an adversary of President Donald Trump and anything he says. Now, I don't like some of the things the president says. I don't like some of the things he tweets. Substantively, I can tell you this. I agree with him 80 to 90% of the time. I just don't like his messaging and delivery sometimes. But one thing you always know about President Trump, his communication skills are right out there in your face all the time. You never have to guess what's on his mind. Now, what's on your mind, does that determine exactly what's in your heart and in your spirit? I'll answer that for you. No, it doesn't. Sometimes we in anger, sometimes we in the heat of a moment, in passion, say some things that we feel at that moment that aren't necessarily indicative of who we are or what we really think. Let me just point something out to you that Mr. Lemon obviously has missed, as have many of the other elites in America. And that is a lifetime of Donald Trump, 70 years, I'm going to guess and say 50 of those he's been in business. And I own a company, a 26-year-old company, and we have a lot of people that we employ, and we have a lot of clients that we do work for. We have the first client that we ever had in the country, in the company, 25 years ago, we've had this same client. So those people know me, and I know those people. You develop a relationship from not having a conversation, but having years of conversations and interactions. The Trump organization has had hundreds of thousands of employees, subcontractors that have come and gone. There are thousands of employees there. Let me ask you a question, and I'm not even going to answer it. Do you think in all those years, 50 years of being in business, if Donald Trump was really a racist, that there would not be a line a mile long around several city blocks in Manhattan of people wanting to go into CNN and give specific circumstances of what Donald Trump did and what Donald Trump said that was racist? You and I both know those people aren't lined up. You know why? He's not a racist. He has a lifetime of pouring into minority communities. Jesse Jackson gave Donald Trump, in a very public ceremony years ago, gave him an award as being a Minority Conscious Businessman of the Year in New York City. Jesse Jackson. Jesse Jackson isn't known to honor too many racist Americans. Donald Trump is not a racist. But Don Lemon, who called him out for that? Did you hear anybody on Fox News calling Don Lemon out for saying that? Did anybody else? Did the New York Times, the Washington Post, anybody call Don Lemon out for calling Donald Trump a racist and doubling down on it later? Nope. No accountability. And that's just an example of what we're talking about tonight. And we're going to get in even further about the media and specifics. Now, don't think you've heard me, you've read me talk about the leftist media and their obvious bias and their leftist political narrative and their hate Trump narrative. And yes, as I said in our discussion several shows ago about the deep state, their plan in unanimity is to take this president down. Saying anything, doing anything necessary, regardless of the truth. Truth be damned, they don't care. That's one story. But what I want to deal with in the second part of tonight's broadcast is what's really going on that is dangerous for every American. You, me, everybody we know, everybody we don't know, those in office, those who serve, our men and women in the military, your children, your grandchildren are in danger. And it's growing, that danger, and getting more and more significant in the lives of Americans. You sit tight. That discussion begins in 60 seconds right here at dnewman.org.
The entire world watched. They watched each step down the rungs of that small ladder, one after another, and waited with great anticipation for that last step.
It's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
At that moment, humanity saw the impossible become the possible, and today the sky is not the limit. Achievement. Pass it on from the Foundation for a Better Life at values.com.
Hey, Thirst, can I try out a few Coke summer sound effects on you?
Yes.
Cool. You okay with this?
Yes.
And this?
Yes.
And what about this? Gotcha there, Thirst. That wasn't sound effects. That was a Coke.
I'm no longer thirsty.
You're so out of here.
Coca-Cola, open happiness.
Don't ever miss a story or podcast. Get an email link to every new story and podcast by entering your email address on the homepage of dnewman.org. If it's relevant, you'll get it here.
You're always going to get the truth when you tune in to dnewman.org to one of these broadcasts. And we're talking about very truthful things in today's show. The first segment, we talked about the U.S. Constitution and its guarantee to all Americans for free speech, and that the government will not abridge that free speech in any way. But we talked about CNN, specifically Don Lemon, and loosely about other news organizations that print and broadcast news that isn't necessarily the news, it's opinion. Unfortunately, they don't couch their opinion in many cases as opinion. They don't see these stories or hear these stories in an editorial format, or in the case of a newspaper, on an editorial page. I've had a beef with my local newspaper for some years. There's one sports announcer that is not announcer, I'm sorry, is a sports writer who often will write an opinion piece, and in the same format as his sports stories that he writes as a reporter, they'll put these opinion pieces in, and both have his picture. They look exactly the same, but there's no disclaimer at all that one is opinion and one is news. And, of course, I've asked. I'm a very much let's get it out in the open kind of person. And when I ask, I'm told they leave it up to us Americans that read those stories to make a determination which is news and which is opinion. Why should we have to do that? Why don't they just report and call it reporting, or write editorials and call it editorials? Why? It's because they don't want you or me to know the difference. And it's really gotten out of hand in Washington, D.C. today. It's unbelievable how much opinion there is that is couched as news. The beef that I have, the biggest beef that I have, and it has really destroyed a whole lot of lives and tainted narrative that should be all truthful in Washington, D.C., is anonymous sources. Those drive me crazy. So let me ask you a question. Why would any reputable news operation, news reporter, even a columnist, report on something that is very serious and very important, even do a story, and not reveal the sources? Now, in some cases, I understand there could be retribution for the information that's given out, taken against that person of source. But there should be a disclaimer that goes along when that happens. If a determination is made by an editor that that information should actually be printed or broadcast, and I'm not so sure that it should even be put on the air or printed without verification of somebody that the source is legitimate and that the information or news that the source is giving is real. It's called verification. Let me dig into this a little bit with you. Liz Spade, do you know who Liz Spade is? A reporter for the New York Times. On February 18th of this year, of 2017, this was printed in the New York Times. And this is a quote. The news emanating from Washington these past 2 weeks, now this is February a year ago, has been relentless, and the reporting on it, impressive. There was a New York Times story on the nascent days of the White House portraying top aides fumbling in the dark as they rethought their improv approach to governing. Then came coverage of a showdown that sent National Security Advisor Michael Flynn packing. That drama morphed into a scoopy Times article reporting that members of President Trump's campaign team had repeated contact with Russian intelligence officials before the election. For what reason, we don't know. This is what journalism should be. Enterprising, essential, and intent on grasping what's well beyond reach. Not just storifying early dawn tweets from the president or wailing from the press secretary's podium, but taking seriously the public service function of the media. There was something else notable about these stories. All of them relied heavily, some entirely, on a reporting tactic many readers despise, the use of anonymous sources. Presumably, for fear of losing a job, a security clearance, access, or something else, the people interviewed did not want to be named and so were assigned nebulous titles like government official or congressional aide or, even more vaguely, those familiar with the thing that they were talking about. Reporters and editors trust such information, sometimes risking their reputation on it. Readers, on the other hand, couldn't be more suspicious, and with reason. The descriptions generally tilt far more toward protecting the sources than giving readers confidence in what they said. "I agree," said Ms. Spade, "with readers that anonymous sources can be overused and abused. But throughout history, some of those who have spoken up provided information that exposed grave government failings and also strengthened democracy. Hold the legions of unnamed not come forward. Had that legion of unnamed not come forward, the CIA black site prisons would never have come to light, nor would the government's wiretapping of private citizens or the investigations of a potential bridge between the Trump team and Moscow. If anonymous sources sometimes cannot the weakest journalism, connote the weakest journalism, other times they signal the best. Not all anonymous information is created equal. Too many stories slip through editors' hands containing unattributed information so trivial that it needs not be published, or so self-serving that its source should not have been handed a microphone. This category may be small, but it's a spoiler. The crucial issue is that the Times doesn't make a priority of telling readers more about sources' motives and about their proximity to the information they claim to know something about. On motive, is the person trying to stop a policy from going forward, perhaps, or trying to get it approved? On credibility, was the source actually in the meeting where decisions were made, or did he or she hear about it third hand? It isn't always possible for reporters to provide this information, but not enough time is spent trying. Now, what Ms. Spade did there was lay out the problem in detail. What's more important? Getting a story out there, meeting a deadline, making some noise, getting another news organization repeating your story from anonymous sources on the air or even in print to get readership, to get listeners, to get viewers. After all, in journalism, professional journalism, it's all about the money. Publishers got to sell papers. They got to sell advertisements in television programs. They've got to sell advertisement, radio spots in radio programs. How do you do that? You got to have people watching. You got to have people reading. You got to have people listening. And how do you get them listening? Why are soap operas so popular? And why have all of the big ones lasted so many years? It's because they hook their audiences with outrageous things. Soap operas, they all have the same storyline. You know that. But people that like soap operas and like the drama, they're hooked. And they'll stay in the middle of them in perpetuity as long as they're continued to be fed with the stuff they want to see, hear, and read. It is no difference in the news business, folks. NBC, MSNBC, CNBC, the Huffington Post, the New York Times, the Washington Post, and for that matter, every conservative news outlet in the world, including Fox News, they all need advertising to stay alive, to stay in business. And so sensationalism is really important. for maintaining that source of income, which gives them the ability to pay on-air television personalities those $20 million a year salaries. They got to get the good stuff. And you know what is paying the price for that? Real news. I don't mind somebody having it. I don't mind Don Lemon having an opinion about President Trump. But in that story that I just quoted Don Lemon in the first segment, he didn't say, I think Donald Trump is a racist. He said over and over and over again, I know Donald Trump is a racist. Now, that has nothing to do with anonymous sources. That has to do with his personal opinion. But it's all intertwined in the news business. The news story is so important, whether it's true or not. They've got to have that news story out there. And the bigger and the nastier and the more controversial, the more people will listen, the more people will watch, the more people will read. And you know what that old adage is? When you throw a whole lot of stuff up against the wall, the more you throw up against the wall, the more it's going to stick. So the more noise they make, the more stories they put out there, forget about the truth. The truth is irrelevant in this 2018 news world that we live in. Instant news is all that matters. Drama, negativity, tearing people down is all that matters. Take, for example, the Michael Flynn story. It's gone in three lifetimes in the last year. Did he lie to the FBI? Of course he did. Not that he did anything wrong. Not that there was any collusion with Russians, but in an interview, he lied to the FBI, and they let him plead guilty. He lost his house. He lost all of his income. He protected his son, who they were blackmailing to get him to flip and say, I am guilty. And then guess what happens? It's come to light in the last week that he didn't lie to the FBI. Now, how do you handle that? His life is destroyed. You can't put the genie back in the bottle. Then what about Ronnie Jackson, who was the personal physician, White House physician for President Obama, and in the first year of the Trump administration for President Trump, a man with the highest integrity, military career, spotless. And we have a rogue Democrat senator from Montana who comes forward and says he has 21 anonymous sources that have come forward with all kind of dirt on Ronnie Jackson. Now, where was that dirt when Jackson was appointed in the Obama administration? Where was that dirt when he was reappointed in the Trump administration? It didn't show up until President Trump nominated him to take over the Veterans Administration, something that he obviously knows a lot about, being a veteran himself and being a doctor. And for whatever reason or reasons, and I think it probably has to do primarily with the fact that Democrats don't want President Trump to be successful in anything, and they're doing everything they can to destroy everything he puts forward. Nevertheless, Ronnie Jackson's career is over. And guess what? Those anonymous sources turn out to not be true. So here's what we need to do, folks. We need to pass a law. We need to pass a law, which means Congress needs to act and put teeth in the accountability of the American news organizations of every kind. Television, radio, newspaper, magazine, blogs, whatever is out there that is operated and run by professional journalists, there has got to be legal ramifications for telling lies in the news. Now, that does not impugn the integrity of any news person, any news organization, and it does not infringe upon free speech. Free speech, remember, is defined by you can say anything as long as you don't scream fire in a crowded theater. when it comes to destroying somebody's life with lies and having a really big megaphone to do it on a national level, there has got to be legal ramifications to anybody and everybody that goes down that road. Congress must act. It would be wonderful if that wasn't necessary, wouldn't it? It would be wonderful if they would just say, you know what? If the New York Times would say, we are not going to print any story that has only anonymous sources that have not been vetted and verified and the substance of what they said also by our editorial staff. It would be wonderful if CNN, NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox would all do the same thing for their broadcast. We're not going to report a story. We're not going to repeat a story from another outlet, which they do all the time. They hand the news around. And it becomes a story because somebody else said it, and they don't want to be left out. They don't want to be last, so they put it on the air. They print it themselves. It would be wonderful if they would step up voluntarily. Somebody with integrity, somebody with honesty, step up and say, it's not going to happen here anymore. We are serving the American people. We are protecting the American citizens, and we are going to do it with the truth. The whole truth, and nothing but the truth. That would be refreshing, but you know what? We can't expect them to do it. They've given us no evidence, none of them, of being in that mindset and willing to do the right thing because money, fame, ratings, distribution, everything is more important than the truth. You know what I got to say today? It wasn't really fun. I just hate it when people get abused and hurt and see their lives destroyed, especially when it's done because the media comes up with false stuff or unverified stuff. And especially when you find out later, oh, we're sorry. That wasn't the truth. And it happens in the last couple of years, thousands of times on national networks and national newspapers. Well, that's going to do it for today's story. I want to thank you for joining us. Thank you for being here. We don't take you for granted at all. We'd love to hear from you. Dan@dnewman.org. Let me know how you feel. Disagree with me. I'm a big boy. I can take it. I love having you along. Have a great day. So long, everybody. Bye.